Peter, thank you for taking the time. I know that between yourself and Bob Roth have had an impact on many people's lives, including myself. I started meditation 10 plus years, and now with the evolution of myself and growth, I'm looking at meditation from another angle, especially that I've seen its impact on people that are close to myself. So, you know, the role that you play in teaching transcendental meditation to people is actually, you know, very impactful, and perhaps people don't realize what it does. Because, you know, it's somebody who is a star in his own right could actually be having some challenges in his other non-professional life. And bringing the meditation into the equation, and you're also teaching how it can help people in more of a balanced life is a very important, so that as we grow, we don't regret.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a great joy, Hashim. And just maybe a little bit, a 30-second definition of terms. What do we mean when we say transcendental meditation? It's a specific form of meditation, and it's quite unique in the world of meditation technologies because TM, as we call it, is entirely effortless. And by that I mean to say that anyone can do it. It does take a 4-day course, about an hour a day, but once you learn it, you have it for life. You don't need any outside technology. You don't need to be connected to the internet. You don't need anyone to talk you through it. So it's a simple, natural mental technique. You practice it for 15 or 20 minutes twice a day, sitting comfortably with the eyes closed. So that's what the technique is. What it isn't is just as important. It's not a belief system. There are no do's and don'ts. We don't tell you what to eat or drink or how to exercise. It's a simple, natural mental technique. And it's non-political, it's non-religious, it's practiced all over the world by people of every major religion and probably hundreds of smaller religions. So it's not a religious technique, it's a technique that simply allows our awareness to settle for 15, 20 minutes. As it turns out, if we have a technique that allows the mind to experience inner quietness, the body follows suit. And if the body settles to a level that's quite a bit deeper than sleep, twice a day for 15 to 20 minutes, we end up with quite a wide range of benefits in our life. Because as you know, I don't care if you've been to the doctor because you stubbed your toe, or if unfortunately you had COVID, whatever you've got going on and you see a professional for, they always tell you to get more rest. Well, all of a sudden you learn this meditation technique, and the simplicity of it is what is hard to get your arms around because it is so simple, but it is such a profound effect on your life. But if you have in your back pocket the ability to take rest at will, that's more than twice as deep as deep sleep. Now it's just 20 minutes, but it's the equivalent of a couple of hours of sleep. And if you have that ability to do that in the morning before work, it just sets you up for the whole day. If you have that ability to do that in the afternoon after work, it prepares you for a more rewarding experience with your family at night. So that's the basic routine. Most people that learned this meditation technique, they do it for 20 minutes twice a day, usually in the morning when they wake up and in the afternoon before dinner in order to enjoy the family more at night.
So interesting, you know, how you break the morning part, which I have been very diligent about, but the afternoon less so. Uh-huh. And now you highlight that the afternoon actually it prepares you so that you can enjoy the rest of the evening with you, with your family, or perhaps maybe prepare you for a sleep.
Yes. My experience, Ashimo, around the world, and I'm the executive director of a nonprofit called the David Lynch Foundation. I'm the executive director of their international programs and the lead teacher of meditation at the David Lynch Foundation. And my experience all over the world is that I don't care what nationality you are, by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you're tired. This is a common denominator kind of experience, you know.
Yes.
So now you learn this technique and you just practice it for 15, 20 minutes. It's the equivalent of plugging in your cell phone. You know, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you might look at the phone and know you're getting nervous, the battery. So you plug it in. This is what you do with your nervous system with TM. In the afternoon, you close the eyes, you do your meditation, and now you're recharged. You literally recharge, not because of any belief system, but because your system gets a level of rest that's quite profound, reduces your cortisol, clears out the noise in your brain, and you can go home and you can be with your family. Everybody wants to go home and be more loving. Everybody wants to go home and be more patient. Everybody wants to go home and be more kind. But when we're bringing the job home and we're bringing our fatigue home, it's very difficult to be the best version of ourselves. You take that break, the whole family notices the difference when you come home now, if you've meditated at the office before you get home, or of course you do it when you first get home.
So what have you seen the benefits of it for different people who have different challenges?
Right. I have an interesting background because I ran my own investment fund for 25 years. But when I closed it, I volunteered with the David Lynch Foundation to teach this meditation. And for the first 6 years, I taught exclusively veterans with post-traumatic stress and first responders, firemen and policemen, mostly in America. And then I shifted gears for the last 10 years. I've been teaching executives in New York City and at United States House of Representatives at Congress in the United States. And it's remarkable that those high-level executives and the people with post-traumatic stress, they have very similar stresses. You know, completely different reasons for getting stressed. But your nervous system doesn't really keep score of how or where you got your stress from. The nervous system simply stores stress. So this technique is universal, and it has the same effect on combat veterans as it does for highly developed executives, in that it just allows us to be more resilient.
And is that because it's almost like a sponge that has gotten in it so much stress of a day or a period of time that you cleanse it?
Yes.
Or is it because the actual system of the individual requires that slowdown?
That's a very beautiful question, Hashim. And the fact is that our systems are designed to heal. Mm-hmm. And one of the main mechanisms is rest. You think about the person out there who's had a broken bone. Say you broke your arm. You go to the doctor. She what? She makes it rest. She puts it in a cast, right? She doesn't heal the bone. She just immobilizes it, makes it rest, and the body's innate intelligence mechanisms take over and heal the bone. This is what we're doing on a much deeper level with meditation. We're allowing the nervous system to get this very profound level of rest, and accompanying that, it changes the brain waves to something that's much more coherent, which we can go into. But that combination of the body resting deeply and the mind being refreshed allows us to be more resilient. And the wide range of benefits is quite profound. Transcendental meditation has the most research of any technique for self-improvement in the world. There are over 450 scientific studies that have been published in peer-reviewed journals. But forget the science. My experience, and we don't want to forget the science because it validates, but my experience is that, take the veteran population, our research internally shows that after 3 months, they are about 52 to 54% improved in their insomnia. Insomnia is a huge problem for veterans, a huge problem for executives who are just, you know, monkey mind, that active mind at night. And sometimes the mind gets more active when they lie down. We can be completely exhausted at 11 o'clock and we lie down and now we're wide awake. So that whole cycle begins to unwind if we can get those two sessions of meditation in, especially the second one in the afternoon, because it prepares us, it gets rid of the noise of the day. That second meditation takes away the noise of the day, and not only do we enjoy the family, but we sleep better.
How about its usefulness in people who have a declining cognitive?
You know, there has been the National Institute of Health in USA. They've spent about $26 million studying transcendental meditation. And about $25.5 million of that was on cardiac illness or cardiac health. So heart disease is the number one killer in America. And I think it's the number one killer in UAE also. So what happens is that that's where the money has gone. I would love to see more peer-reviewed research done on TM for all the whole wide range of cognitive issues and neurological illnesses, like dementia, like Parkinson's. But honestly, we don't have data. We have a lot of anecdotal research, and we have data that shows improved memory, both short-term and long-term, with meditators. But for the actual designation of dementia, we don't have peer-reviewed data yet. We have anecdotal data where we'll teach someone and their memory is much better and their cognitive function is better. But I don't like to make statements where we don't have the research to back it up. I know we have Bob Roth, who's the CEO of the David Lynch Foundation, and Hashim's instructor, great friend of mine and a wonderful teacher. Bob taught one of the America's most famous actors, who is an advanced Parkinson's patient. And I won't use his name because I don't have permission to do so, but he said that he had spent something like $4 million on his own treatments and therapies. He has a foundation that's raised about $500 million for research on Parkinson's. And despite the fact that he spent $3 to $4 million on his own therapies, the only time he doesn't shake is when he practices transcendental meditation for 20 minutes.
Interesting.
So it certainly has an impact. I'm just saying that we don't have the data yet to really quantify how powerful that impact is.
You know, ever since I started transcendental meditation, I also started appreciating how, so in Islam, you're supposed to pray five times.
Yes.
And I started appreciating the fact that, you know, the prayer actually has in itself an attempt to have you disconnect.
Yes.
Now, of course, it has to be, you know, the best prayers I do actually where actually I do slow down.
Yes.
And recite the verses of the Quran so that, you know, one slows down. But from what I found also is that, you know, they almost complement each other.
Yes. Yes. I love that word complementary, because not only is TM complementary with all religions, it's complementary with all kinds of healthy things we're already doing. A lot of people exercise. A lot of people attempt to get their best nutrition. A lot of people try to get as much sleep as possible. but there still seems to be something missing. There's just, we all have this sense that there's just, if there was this one more thing we could do, mm-hmm. and it turns out that there is, mm-hmm. and it only takes 15 or 20 minutes. I wanted to say something anecdotally and personally about religion in TM, because I've taught TM in the Middle East, both in Saudi Arabia and in UAE for about the last 18 months, and I've spent 3 to 4 months in the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia. And it's the same experience I've had in America. TM strengthens one's religious experience. Mm-hmm. It is completely complementary. TM allows us to appreciate life more, and naturally we'll appreciate something as profound as our religious belief more if we have less stress, if we're more open-hearted. I know the anecdote I wanted to share was my mother. My mother was a devout Roman Catholic. Mm-hmm. Grew up in the East Coast of USA, and she went to church every Sunday, dragged us all with her, mm-hmm. and we didn't mind too much. Mm-hmm. But when she learned meditation, she started going every day.
Yeah, interesting.
So it's not like it took her away from her religion. Mm-hmm. It was so complementary that it got her even more religious. So we shouldn't have this sense that TM is somehow religious, mm-hmm. or even anti-religion. No, TM is complementary with all forms of belief, because TM is not a belief system. TM is a simple technique that allows us to be able to experience life at a more profound level.
What I also, you know, when I speak to people is that, you know, trying the TM technique is you're discovering something, but there's no downside.
Yes.
So if it works for you, great. If it doesn't work for you, you can just walk away. It's not that you have to sign up.
Right. No, it's beautiful. There's nothing to join. Mm-hmm. What you're joining is your own inner silence. What you're joining, I think the Beatles said it best, "I'll give you everything I've got for a little peace of mind." You're just getting some peace of mind twice a day, and that spills over into the rest of your day. See, we're not just meditating for the mm-hmm. experience 20 mm-hmm. minutes twice a day. Mm-hmm. We're meditating because the effect spills over into the day. So you do it in the morning, and naturally the effect wears off because we're involved in activity. Then you do it in the afternoon, that resets your whole physiology again. Opens the heart, decreases your cortisol, makes your brain waves more coherent. You enjoy the evening.
So REM and deep sleep. So for example, you know, I find myself, I get a lot of REM, deep sleep, not as much. And when I meditate, you know, I couldn't figure out if I'm getting the REM or the deep.
Right.
Because sometimes you really go deep and you start with a lot of thoughts, and then once you come out of it, you don't know what really happened.
Right.
So which one is it that we get, or is it both?
You know, the question of sleep versus meditation is a deep one. I taught this sleep researcher at one of the major hospitals in New York City, and she was so fascinated by the TM experience, because the TM experience is unique in that when we sleep, if you think about it, what we do is we lose awareness. Like, we close the eyes if we're lucky enough, and of course most people aren't sleeping well enough or long enough anymore. We all know this is a big problem. But if we're lucky enough to sleep well, we close our eyes and we start to lose awareness. Mm-hmm. And we lose awareness, and when we're completely dull, which is a replenishing for the body and mind, we say, "Ah, I don't remember a thing. What a great night's sleep."
Yeah.
And it has its own brain waves. Mm-hmm. As Hashim was saying, we have stages of sleep, stage 2 sleep, stage 3 REM sleep, where you have a lot of dreams going on and you can measure the rapid eye movement. That's what it means. Rapid eye movement is REM. But in transcendental meditation, something very unique is happening. And that is to say, of course, sometimes we can fall asleep in TM, but usually something different is going on where we're getting this deep level of rest, but we're actually waking up. We're getting, the mind is getting more quiet, less active. And when we have an experience where it's least active, the brain waves are completely different than sleep. We're wide awake, and the brain waves are what they call alpha one frequency. And there's coherence between the different parts of the brain, the left and the right and the front and the back. If you plot it with an EEG machine, you look at the readout, wow, they're all doing the same thing. This is not found in sleep. This is not found when we're in tasks outside of meditation at work. This is not found when we're watching television. Mm-hmm. This is only found in meditation, and it's only found in transcendental meditation, that there's this unique experience of restful alertness. So we're completely rested, but the mind has expanded its boundaries, and we're unbounded and we're silent inside. We're falling awake rather than falling asleep.
Interesting.
So, but it can, from the outside, it looks like the same experience. You know, you're sitting mm-hmm. there with the eyes closed and you could be sleeping. But when you're not sleeping, and people do fall asleep in TM, of course, if they're fatigued. But for the most part, they're having this other experience where they're deeply rested, more deeply rested than sleep, but their brain waves would show that they're more awake than when they're awake in the waking state. So it's a very unique state of consciousness, and it has that tremendous value of resilience, of picking us up, of making us more alert after the meditation.
Interesting, because also I find that I would find missing things or ideas.
Yes.
So it's almost like, you know, sleeping on something. Yeah. When you say sleep on it, so now in the meditation itself, a new idea pops up in your mind after you're gone. So you start with so many thoughts coming to you, right. Then you go deep, and then after you come up, you know, you have this idea that came to you, to your mind.
Yes, I love what Hashim is saying, because creativity is one of the major benefits that executives report all the time, especially people who are in the creative industries, you know, where you really need to be coming up with generating new ideas all the time. And if you look at the mind, I'm going to make a little analogy of the mind. Let's compare the mind. Imagine you're looking at a cross section of the ocean, maybe the surface, you know, you've got waves. Sometimes big waves, 30-foot waves. But if you're in a little boat on that 30-foot wave, say you're in an 18-foot boat, you're getting tossed around, and it's not very comfortable. But if you get out of that boat and you go down 30 feet, it's a lot quieter.
Yeah.
If you go to the bottom of the ocean, which remember could be 2 to 3 or 4 miles deep, it's essentially silent. This is an analogy for the mind. We have what psychology says that conscious mind, 10% of the surface of our mind. This is where we appreciate our thoughts. But we have deeper levels of our mind that are more quiet. And all transcendental meditation does is it allows us systematically to experience quieter and quieter and quieter and least quiet. Most quiet, I should say, least active, levels of our mind. Now, those deeper levels of the mind, this is where intuition is. This is where creativity is. So what Hashim is saying, that when he comes out of meditation, the answer is there. Because he's just been in touch with the source of creativity, with the source of intuition. So we don't pay too much attention to things that come during meditation, which we would go into in the training. But after meditation, people, from mundane things like, oh, that's where I lost my keys. That's the answer to this code problem that I'm having. I'm trying to write this software, and it just comes. Because we've cleared the noise out of the brain. The brain is more coherent. You can measure it This is not something that we're conjecturing. It can be measured that when you come out of meditation, your brain is more coherent than when you went into meditation. And that's why we have these flashes, these intuitive flashes or these creative problem solving automatically. We're not doing anything. We just take a break.
Peter, I thank you a lot, you know, for explaining about meditation. As I said at the beginning, you know, the impact that you're doing and others in teaching people about meditation and how to meditate is perhaps, you know, much bigger than what people say, because it touches every aspect of their life.
Right.
I wish you best of luck. Always happy to support in whatever way we can to have you spread that benefit. And of course, I also appreciate your supporters who have shown us here in the UAE and in other parts of the world a better way to manage our lives.
Well, thank you for having me, Hashim, and thank you for bringing me into your whole family. It's been a wonderful experience. Hashim's wife and kids are enjoying their meditation, and it has a really sweet and nourishing effect on the whole family structure, and I'm delighted to be able to offer this. It's a very simple technique, and anyone can do it, and it's a great joy to teach it, and I have thoroughly enjoyed my experience in UAE. It's just been delightful.
Thank you.